The word of God that we'll focus on this morning is our first lesson. We'll consider especially the final two verses of that lesson. Let's begin with prayer. Lord of harvest, grant a new joy and strength to work for you, till the gathering nations all see your light and heed your call. Amen. When I was a boy, I remember being fascinated by books about islands. I read this book called Island of the Blue Dolphins. Maybe some of you have read that. It was based on a true story, actually, where a girl lived on an island off the coast of California by herself for years. I read Robinson Crusoe, where a man struggled to fight and stay alive on a wild island for 28 years, I think. There's the Swiss Family Robinson, maybe you've read that, where this family gets stranded on a deserted island, but kind of turn it into their own little paradise. I read Lord of the Flies, which is a little bit darker. Some boys were wrecked on an island, and it kind of catalogs the darkness of the human heart. But I don't know, there's just something kind of intriguing about islands. They offer this allure of paradise. There's something mysterious about them. And in God's Word today, we heard the prophet Isaiah talk about islands, although he didn't really talk about what the islands have to offer, did he? He spoke about what they need. You see, there are people in this world who are also distant, not just geographically from us, but distant from us by faith, distant and remote from God. People who like to carve out their own little slice of paradise in this world apart from God, but who end up just finding danger lurking in every corner of their island. And yet it's to these people who are far from God, these islands all around us, that the Lord today offers a message of salvation. A message of salvation for the islands that will be proclaimed by His people and proclaimed to all people. And when you read the book of Isaiah, it's kind of interesting. This word island comes up quite a bit. The word that is used in the Hebrew is not really used that much outside of the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. But Isaiah uses this word to describe people that are remote, that are distant, not just geographically from Israel, but from Israel's God. And yet Isaiah also makes clear throughout his book of prophecy that the word of God, and especially the promise of the coming Savior, was meant for such islands. For example, in Isaiah chapter 11, a chapter that's maybe most famous for its opening verse that says, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit." In that same chapter, God goes on to say, "The root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples, the nations will rally to him, even," he says, "from the islands of the sea." Or you can jump ahead to Isaiah 42, another passage which talks about the coming Savior and the work He would do. It says there, "Here is my servant, a bruised reed He will not break, a smoldering wick He will not snuff out." And in the very next verse, we're told another thing about this Savior. Isaiah writes, "In His law," His teaching literally, "the islands will put their hope." Go ahead a few more chapters to Isaiah 49, and we hear the Savior Himself, before He came to this earth, speaking through the mouth of Isaiah, saying, "Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. And now the Lord says, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." So what's the point? Why does God, speaking through Isaiah, bring up this imagery of islands again and again? And why does He connect the promises concerning the Savior to them? Well, if you think a little bit about the history of God's chosen nation, Israel, maybe it starts to make a little bit of sense. Remember, it was not to the islands who were far away, but to this one nation, Israel, that God first revealed who He was and what he was going to do to save this world from sin and death and the hell we all deserve. And God made this one nation, Israel, to be his mouthpiece for the world. These were the people that were to share God's love and compassion with the world around them. And yet the very fact that God chose them sometimes became a stumbling block for them. There were times where the people of Israel came turned in on themselves and forgot about God's commands. And the people of Israel, after a while, were more concerned about preserving a historical heritage than they were with reaching people with the gospel. And yes, the Savior was promised to come from the Jews and to first be heard by the Jews. And yes, God's love was shown to the Jews, but it was not meant to stop there. It was just meant to be a small glimpse of God's amazing love, his amazing grace and mercy, which were for all people. And that Savior, which would come from these people, would be for all people. And so the Lord, throughout the Old Testament, had to constantly remind them that yes, salvation would come through you, but it was not just for you. And it wasn't just because you belonged to Israel. And so God, through the prophet Isaiah, wanted to remind these people that his love, yes, it was for them, but it was also for the most hostile nations around them, for the most remote places and islands on the planet. And I suppose as we consider that attitude in Israel's heart, we might want to reflect on our own. Because much like the nation of Israel, you, as New Testament believers in Jesus, are called the people of God. You are a holy nation to him. But a nation that has been called to do what Israel was called to do. And that's proclaim the salvation of the Lord. And yet I wonder if sometimes the very fact that we are a part of God's holy people doesn't lull us into a sense of accomplishment maybe and ease when there's still plenty of work to be done. And God would have us think about that. The people that are still distant from him, these islands. Because sometimes it's easy to start thinking, like Israel did, it's just not worth my time. Or even if we wouldn't say that, we'd say they're just not going to listen, so it's not worth me wasting my breath. But these islands are not just the far-flung reaches of our world, where ignorance and idolatry are the things we typically think of as marking some of the cultures. These islands are here at home. These islands are here in the heartland. They're in your homes and in your communities. You know the people who are distant from God, the people who are far from him, the people who need to know about him. And God has called on you, yes, you, to share that message of hope with such islands. Listen again to his encouragement from our sermon text, where he says, "Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm." And what exactly is this law, literally, the teaching? What is this word that goes out from God, this justice, this righteousness, this salvation that's on the way? Well, you know what this is, or better, who this is, don't you? This is the Word made flesh, the one God had promised, the one who would come to bring justice and righteousness to earn salvation. This is Jesus Christ being promised. This is the Son of God, the strong arm of God himself, who would come to earn through his life and death salvation for all of God's people, Israel, but not just for them, for the islands too. And to rise for them, and not just for them, but for the islands too. You see, this is who Jesus is. He is the salvation that God has promised. And so for us today, as we consider this, you know, we are just as God's ancient people, where we are called on to proclaim this salvation to others. After all, we heard it in our second lesson, didn't we, from Paul, when he asked the question, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? For faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. This urgency God wants us to have in our mission work is something that he reaffirms to his New Testament people. And it's something that we as his New Testament people will want to do. I think of there was a man back in 1823, his name was Reginald Heber, and he was a pastor in London, and he really exemplified this. He took a missionary post in 1823 to Calcutta, India, where he'd spend the next 3 years of his life doing mission work there among the natives. And he was really tireless in his work. He knew the need, he saw the darkness of sin and unbelief around him, and he was very fervent in trying to reach these people with Jesus. He was the man who ordained the first native-born person into the ministry there in the modern era. And 3 years after he arrived, his ministry was cut kind of short, abruptly, we might say, when he died. He died, though, after a very long church service outdoors where he baptized 42 converts. And he suffered from heat stroke. But this was the kind of man Reginald Heber was. And you probably don't know the name, but I'll bet you've sung some of his hymns. We have a number of them in our hymnal. And his most famous one is probably his great mission hymn, From Greenland's Icy Mountains. And in that hymn, in the final verse, he leaves this really fitting epitaph for his life and really asks a question that we would do well to consider as we think about the mission work God has entrusted us. He says, can we whose souls are lighted with wisdom from on high, can we to men benighted the lamp of life deny? Salvation, O salvation, the joyful sound proclaim, till each remotest nation has learned Messiah's name. Brothers and sisters, we have the best news anyone's ever heard, the greatest news anyone could ever share, and it's this, that though we are great sinners who fail our God and fail others every day, though we are selfish with some of God's best gifts, we have a Savior greater than our sin. We have a Savior who covers our failure with His faithfulness. We have a Savior who washes our sin-stained, filthy robes and makes them white in His holy blood. We have in Jesus Christ salvation that gives us hope in the midst of this sea of grief and pain that we call this world. And that salvation is for every island in the sea, no matter how distant they seem from God. And again, these are not just islands way out there somewhere. These are the people right here at home. And I've really been reminded of that the last year as I took a call and started serving at one of our Wells Home Missions right here in the Midwest. It was kind of interesting. I started my ministry in Appleton, Wisconsin, a big church, a big school, and lots of Wells people in Appleton. And when I got a call to St. Paul's in Adams, I thought, what's a new mission doing in the middle of Wisconsin? You know, kind of what I consider to be a very churched and very Wellsy part of our country. But as I looked at it, I found out, well, number one, Adams County is not really all that churched, only about 20% of the people there claim any church home. And St. Paul's is the only Wells church in the entire county. So you've got this island of people in the middle of Wisconsin that aren't hearing the gospel. And since I arrived there a year ago, I've had countless opportunities to share God's message of salvation with these islands. I've got to share the hope and freedom that Christ gives with people that are enslaved by addiction and drunkenness. And I've gotten to share the hope of Jesus with inmates and former inmates and talk about the cycle of sin and the hope we can have in Christ. I've heard from men and women coming from shattered families where they were abused and mistreated. And I've heard how Jesus gave them a new perspective on this life. I've been a part of baptisms in rundown garages and drug-infested trailer parks. I've gotten to see kids coming from homes and schools where they are hearing a very different message than what the church teaches, and yet they find their hope and their confidence in their Savior. Brothers and sisters, the lost and hurting, they aren't just on Greenland's icy mountains, are they? Or the islands of the Pacific. They're in Wisconsin's icy cities today. They're right here in our own homes, our own backyards. They're in Adams County. They're here in La Crosse County. You know these people because God has placed them all around you, these people who are distant from Him. And God has called you to share the saving message of Jesus Christ and to offer these people eternal hope and a temporal change in perspective through that gospel. Brothers and sisters, my encouragement for you is to identify and seek out those people in your life. The lost and hurting are all around us, even on the islands in the Midwest. God grant us wisdom and love as we share the hope we have in Jesus, as we share His salvation with islands near and far. Amen.